We continue to talk high school hoops as we bring in Joel Hammond with the Chronicle Telegram. Joel, how are you on this fine Friday afternoon, my friend?
Well, Andy, I was doing fine until I came on your show and you didn't play Bone Crusher.
I thought about it. I might save that for a little bit later on in the show. That might just have to be your official entrance theme. Unless you want something else, I could always dial up something different, but you seem to be on that Bone Crusher bandwagon.
Yeah, Bone Crusher is fine. So, yeah, I was doing really well until I didn't hear that. So.
We'll make sure we dial that up every time we have you on the show from here on out. But
all right,
let's get into some of your work that a lot of our listeners read this morning in the Chronicle Telegram. You detailed your top five, did a nice feature as well on this weekend's play-by-play classic at the Elyria Catholic Coliseum. But I want to begin with your player of the week, a guy that I had a chance to see a couple of times last week in Jared Bablinek of Open Door. And boy, was he sensational in both games. The opening game against the John Hay Hornets, he played extraordinarily well, but he was even better in their championship game against the Amherst Comets. He was terrific at Wellington in both games, and he's one of those players, I think, that in this area, to some degree, kind of goes a little unnoticed, but boy, last week he was terrific.
Yeah, Andy, these few guys from Open Door have been around for 3 years now. You know, I remember watching Open Door at the Q. They played there a few years ago as part of the Q's, you know, the Cavs program that, you know, you buy group tickets and you get to play on the court, and it's a really cool experience. I know EC just did that the other day with Fairview, and I saw those guys down there, and I said, you know, these guys are all sophomores. These guys really have potential to be really good. And Bablinek and Trey Brooks and Carter Wright, Todd Wright's son, the point guard, and now Miles Hunt is back. You know, I really think Open Door has a shot to make a little bit of noise in their district. And Bablinek is really smooth, and Trey Brooks is really good too. And I really like watching those guys play. And Todd Wright's a great guy. And he's had a great season so far. These guys put up some pretty darn good numbers. And, you know, they'll be a sleeper. I think they might surprise some people in their district later on this year.
Along those same lines, is that the kind of team that's really on the cusp of cracking your top five? And I ask that for all the reasons that you just mentioned, because especially for some schools in that district, they don't necessarily have the length to match up with a team like Open Door, it seems. And they've got a ton of that this year. They've got some guys who can handle the ball very well. They've got some guys who can crash the glass. They've got some shooters as well. They've got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you know, the top five is a funny thing. You know, I here's what I try to do with it. I try to say who would, you know, I feel bad not being able to sneak more people, more teams into the top five. But for instance, the way I look at it is, would Open Door beat Elyria, right? Elyria is 5-4, and, you know, they've had ups and downs. They play a brutal schedule. We've talked about it. And I don't think Open Door would really be able to even keep up with Elyria. So that's why I keep them out of the top five. That's why I keep Elyria in there. So we've got, you know, we've got Lorain, Vermillion, Clearview, Elyria, and Columbia this week. And I just don't think Open Door, despite them being really good and having a shot in their district to make a little bit of noise, you know, they play a relatively weak schedule, and that's the way I view the top five. So I don't see them as on the cusp of breaking in there, despite them having good players and having a good year. So that's the way I treat my top five each week.
Okay, fair enough. But I'm with you in that come tournament time, they could certainly make some noise. They've even got a little bit more depth, I think, than people realize, too. So this is a team I think we'll be talking about into the second or third week of March, potentially. But we'll get into that a little bit later on. Joel, you also really went deep into the teams that are going to show up at the Elyria Catholic Coliseum this weekend. And holy smokes, this should be a great tournament. Joel, there are some outstanding teams showing up over the next couple of days at the Coliseum.
Yeah, I tried to, in doing this research, you know, how many, there's like, 20 teams, so it was quite an exhaustive research process on some of these teams that, frankly, I don't see a lot. You know, I'm pretty well focused on Lorain County and those Cuyahoga County schools that play, you know, Lorain County teams in their league. So, you know, I'm looking at these teams, and you look at St. Ignatius. They've beaten three of the teams in the field, Lutheran East, Cleveland Heights, and Garfield Heights. And since then, they've lost four straight, all to teams in this field: Solon, McKinley, St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Lake Catholic. How about Cleveland Heights, Andy? They're 5-3. Their three losses have been by a combined 7 points to Ignatius, Cleveland Central Catholic, and Villa Angela St. Joseph. Three teams, if you know anything about those three teams, you know, perennial state, regional state contenders. And how about Shaker Heights? They beat up on Garfield Heights and outlasted a really strong Leakwood team. And then they lost to Cleveland Heights, Brunswick, and Lutheran East, all teams that are in this weekend's field, by a combined 68 points. So that just kind of shows you where some of the top teams in the Cleveland area, you know, they've kind of beaten up on each other all season so far, and should be a really fun. If you like basketball, I heard Tim and Matt talk about it on their In the Paint segment this week. But if you like basketball, this Elyria Catholic is the place to be this weekend. There's no doubt.
Well, certainly, because it highlights some of the best players, not only in the area, but in the state as well. And going down that same road here, you know, which players, teams, or matchups are you really looking forward to the most this weekend with all this star power and all these incredible teams? Are there some players or teams or particular matchups that you've really got your eye on?
Yeah, I think the headliner is St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Lorraine. Those two teams, you know, like I wrote, Lorraine has pretty much steamrolled everything in its path. St. Vincent, St. Mary is, I think, 6-2. You know, they've beaten Garfield Heights. They've beaten Ignatius. They returned four starters from their Division II title team. They'll play Division I this year, actually. So they've stepped up in class. But that's a big game. You know, Brush is a team that not a lot of people know a lot about. They've got a couple of really good players, but Andre Harris is their headliner. They play Garfield Heights, Andy, which actually is a little bit down this year, so that'll be a fun one. St. Ed's and Kennedy Catholic. Andy, you know, if you remember John Reimold from BG, he's a Kennedy Catholic alum. They've won three straight small school state titles in Pennsylvania. They're right over there along the border there in the Newcastle area or Meadville area. They've got a really good team. They've got three Division I players on their team, including a West Virginia commit. So they play St. Edwards. So really good matchups. Brunswick's really good. It'll be interesting to see if Olmsted falls, which I know a lot of your listeners probably have seen this year due to their SWC presence. They play Brunswick. Should be just a really good event.
Forgot all about John Reimold. He was a kind of an underrated player and arguably the best shooter on that team on the year where Dan Dockich was down to four or five scholarship players, and he had to play Cole Magner, who is a football player with some pretty consistent minutes. I forgot all about Reimold, and he, of course, is the brother of Nolan Reimold, who went on to play Major League Baseball and had a pretty decent career, did he not?
Yeah, John Reimold, Andy, I'll tell you a fun story. If you remember that a Ford Ranger I had in college, John Reimold, all six of them, rode in that thing. I used to live over near him, and so we got connected, and we would actually carpool back and forth to BG, and his knees were in my windshield.
Yes, I believe that wholeheartedly. Well, that goes to show you just how many great schools are in this tournament this weekend. So the Coliseum is most definitely a place to be. I mean, really, Joel, you just ran through a bunch of big time names in the high school scene, some terrific teams as well in the area. So that should be an outstanding showcase. I want to dive into some of the other top five teams. And I know there really wasn't a whole lot of movement this week, and that naturally happens when you have top five teams playing at an incredible level right now. We saw the top two teams play this past weekend at the Lorain County Holiday Tournament, and it seems like it's going to take a lot to get Lorain and Vermilion away from those top two spots.
It is, and I don't foresee that happening, but I'll tell you what, Lorain, in addition, so they play Maple Heights tonight. Maple is not as good as they have been, so that should extend to Lorain to 9-0. Then Lorain has St. Vincent St. Mary Saturday at the Sunday at the Coliseum, and then Cleveland Heights. We just talked about it. Cleveland Heights is a really good team. If you remember, Cleveland Heights ended Lorain's run in the Lake Erie League last year. They won the league title last year. Cleveland Heights, I'll run through it again, 5-3. They've lost three games by a combined 7 points, Andy, to Ignatius, Central Catholic, and VASJ. So Lorain has Maple, St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Cleveland Heights coming up, then Clearview. So they've got a tough schedule coming up. I don't foresee them being knocked out of the top spot of our top five, but, you know, more broadly speaking, we'll know a little bit more about Lorain come next Saturday or so.
Joel, have you ever seen a team in the county that's been this dominant? I mean, as you put in your top five, Lorain and Vermilion are 1-2, and Lorain beat Vermilion by 20 points in that championship game. Have you ever seen a team that's had this much success in this area?
Well, you know, we talked last year, guys, as the tournament went on. I was frankly surprised that Lorain was able to do what it did once it got to the regional. You know, I vividly remember talking to guys about St. Ed's and the task that Lorain faced. And Lorain basically was down to sit there playing six guys, you know? And one of them was Cam Davis, who I know is a good player, but he's, you know, he's 5'6". And, you know, they just were, you know, it was Grant and Pierre-Louis and Jordan Jackson. And after that, you're hoping for something to happen. They've gotten, you know, with Deontay Benejean and Pierre-Louis is playing, now Jordan Jackson can go back to doing what he does best, and that's play defense and rebound. And they've gotten a ton better, and you know, I've been covering Lorain County basketball for 11 years or so, and you know, this is stuff that we haven't seen before. So I wish that I could be out there Sunday, and maybe I'll weasel my way into going to Cleveland Heights next Friday night. But they are on a roll, and it's fun to watch for sure.
Again, we're talking high school hoops with Joel Hammond of the Chronicle-Telegram here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Clearview is a school that's been mentioned a couple of times over the last 10 minutes or so. They have a huge test tonight, and they haven't played in a couple of weeks. How do you think they fare against a team like Fairview, who, again, is coming off a victory over Elyria Catholic a couple nights ago? This is a team, I think, Clearview, that's very, very interesting. But, again, having not played a game in a couple of weeks, it's going to be really, really interesting to see how they fare.
Yeah, they'll be up against it with Fairview. Fairview's 4-1 in the Stripes division, a game behind Clearview. Fairview's loss was to Buckeye, which of course is off to another great start, and a game behind Keystone in the Stars division. So we'll know more about Clearview. You know, these two teams like to play kind of the same way. Clearview likes to get up and down. Fairview, if I remember correctly, they scored 111 one night, and then like 2 days later they scored 112. So they've got a great player. I think his name's Luke Howes, and they are for real. So, you know, we talked about it last week. Clearview took 2 weeks off. I'm sure that wasn't their desired plan, but just kind of the schedule works out. So they've got Fairview, Keystone, Elyria, Lorain, and Columbia and Bay all in the next 3 weeks. So we'll know a lot more about Javon Todd, Jameer Millings, and those guys after that stretch for sure.
No doubt about it. Want to hit on one more team in your top five this week, Columbia. Boy, they're really going to be tested in the early stages of next week. As you detailed this morning, they're taking on Wellington. I believe it is next Tuesday. That game should be a lot of fun, and that's a pretty good measuring stick for both teams.
Yep, they play host to Wellington on Tuesday, and then the following Friday they're at Fairview, and then they're at Keystone, and then they play Clearview. So they should be fine. They should beat Brooklyn and Independence the next two nights, and then three of the next four are against PAC leaders and contenders, and so they'll be out for revenge against Clearview. I know they led Clearview in the third quarter in the team's first meeting, and fell short. And Andy, I know we usually talk about teams that right are on the cusp. You know, frankly, Keystone should probably be in that top five as well. You know, they're 5-0 in the pack, I think 6-3 overall, and they're playing really well. Now, again, you talk about teams with schedules that are going to test them. Keystone has Wellington, Rocky River, and Clearview, and then Elyria in the next, 2 weeks or so. So it's with these schedules are crazy. You know, the pack is deeper this year, and there's certainly not a lot of breathers for those pack teams, and we'll know more about the Wildcats too. I'm planning to write about Columbia and Keystone over the next couple weeks after the dust settles a little bit, so we'll learn more about those schools as we go.
Yeah, Joel, you mentioned Keystone. I mean, you talk about having Wellington, Rocky River in all the next 2 weeks. I believe Wellington and Rocky River are tonight and tomorrow. I mean, that's a big test for those two teams going toe-to-toe, and Rocky River's got Bay tonight too, so I mean, that's a huge weekend for both those squads.
Yeah, Rocky River's off to a great start. I know they beat up on Wellington, and they beat up on Elyria Catholic too. And we know EC has a good team. I know the results quite haven't been there for them, but River's got some impressive wins early on.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, Joel, as always, we appreciate the time very much. You enjoy your weekend, and we'll have you on again next Friday to dive a little bit deeper into the high school hoop scene.
You too, Andy. Have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks, Joel. You do the same. Again, Joel Hammond with the Chronicle-Telegram.